Well, good morning. Thank you, folks, and glad each one of you could be here. I want to say thank you for praying, and also an update on, we got this week on the Cora group, one of the places we're involved with helping out, supply buying. They have come through all the lessons, and this past week presented death, burial, resurrection, and it's just beginning to dawn on these people. The Cora group had another mission come in years ago, and these people, they can barely speak Indonesian, and it's like us trying, like as grade one, grade two, trying to read the King James Bible. They had a Bible left with them, I want to say 10 years ago, and never read it. It was so difficult for them. And so these three couples eventually felt they should get in, learn the language, and retranslate it. So they had a lot of help from this previous translation, but try to make it more every day. And it's just amazing. Another group we've been praying for is just almost in the same stage, the Nagi group. They have never had any exposure. And it's just going through, God's presence is everywhere. It's just blowing them away. You mean God created this wood for me to burn? Like, it just, yeah, just pretty neat to hear some of the testimony. So thank you for praying. And with that, just remind me of an experience of reading a missionary book. Actually, maybe some of you have read it, about this man trekking. He had government mail with him, money with him, by himself through, I want to say, the Tibetan mountains. And these robbers knew this guy was going by and were stalking him way back to rob him. And they went to rob him in the middle of the night, and they couldn't. There were these soldiers all around gathered, watching his tent. And years later it came out, one of these robbers was dying, and again on his deathbed met this missionary. And the one question he had, who were those soldiers guarding you? And he didn't have any soldiers. Well, it was seven people at a prayer meeting praying for this fella, and here they were soldiers around this guy's tent. So I don't have a story like that, but there's people have said when I returned, even this morning, I'm praying for you. And we woke up one night in the middle of the night in the guest house, and I was in a fog. And our house was being broke into. I didn't even know it was being broke into. I just saw it was strange that the shadow of the street light was moving on the curtain. Well, the windows are locked. They shouldn't be moving. And a thief was opening the window up. And I got over the side of Diane. I was looking at this strange sight. And a thief pulls the curtain aside, and we're looking eyeball to eyeball. What a surprise on his face, and he just ran. I was waking up, realized, that's a thief. And took a look at my watch. It was 2:15 in the morning. And I came to realize the next day that somebody must have been praying. It was beyond me to wake up that time of the night. And these natives, they try to put a curse or a spell on the house so that the people that are in it will be groggy and sleepy, and that didn't affect. And it just, we praise the Lord. It was the Lord. I just stepped back, and that's happened more than once, another occasion. But just thank you for praying, and don't just underestimate the power of prayer. Going back in my life and looking at or preparing for this message, there was a time in my life it was as I was dead to the Lord. And I want to encourage all of you that have children, grandchildren. It was at a Bible reading or children's story time, gathered around my mom, that about six or seven, that I came to, the story was read of Jesus, the life of Christ, through the Bible readings, through the story times and the miracles, and that was all wonderful. And at that point in my life, this one story came to the death, the injustice of this death. It made me cry as like a 7-year-old. Why did they ever kill this guy for? And I didn't understand. And praise the Lord, time came and understanding came. So in going over thoughts of what to speak on, there were certain thoughts came through after the resurrection. And I haven't mastered any of these. We're all in that. I am, most of all, in that learning stage. We have a saying in mechanics, you live and learn on some jobs. And some of them, they come back and you're just living. I haven't learned yet how to fix this thing. So, yeah, just know that I haven't arrived. But anyway, I call these post-encounters, post-resurrection encounters, conversations with the Lord Jesus. And so I want to turn into, first off, a little passage that jumped out to me from 1 Timothy, how that we can be alive in this world and yet dead to the Lord. And it's talking about widows there. 1 Timothy 5, there's a little phrase there, verse 6. And we're going to be going into the resurrection. And it's saying, verse 4, if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before the Lord. Now that she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in the Lord, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And that was me. And I just pray that if there's any one of you that is just living for the world, living for the flesh, the Bible says you are dead while you're alive. And it was my state of being in trying to even coming to understanding the gospel through bedtime stories, trying to live the Christian life without, it was just the knowledge and without the understanding that I was a lost sinner Christ died for. That was a personal encounter in my mind that I came to. And I pray that each one of you have had that or will have that. So then we'll go on to Matthew 28. And I've made kind of an overview of the different encounters. Here we have, in the end, verse 1, let's pause before we get on into this and pray the Lord to guide us and bless us. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege and freedom that is ours. Father, just pray you would open our understanding to your truths and your ways for our life, our lives. And Father, you would give clarity of thought even on speaking this. Father, just we need your help. We cannot do anything of ourselves. And as we come to realize salvation is all from you, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just praise you and thank you for this. So we just pray your help now and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ then, in chapter 28 of Matthew, and it's pretty much the last chapters of each of the Gospels we'll get into, or that's where the resurrection of Christ is. Jesus had lived a good life, and amazing miracles were done by him for the last three and a half years. So he was 30 to 33. And then wicked men designed to kill him, and they did, and they crucified him. Here we go. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So here there was living keepers, they became as dead for fear. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, and lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. We'll stop there, and we'll go on in John and Luke, and the other encounters there. It's Mary Magdalene that Jesus appears to first, and here he's appearing to several, so that's a later appearing. So let's turn to John chapter 20. And we'll get into the story of Mary Magdalene. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And so this appears to be the order then, that it's happening. We'll continue. But Mary, this would be Mary Magdalene, stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands, his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Well, and then, well, we'll continue on. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas being with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my side, my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So here we have different encounters, and one of the main words that came out to me was peace. And there's three, to me, different aspects of peace. Vertically, peace in my heart. When I was dead to God, the burden of my sin, we have a message of freedom. And our brother was sharing in the earlier service, we have this truth that has set us free. We have message of redemption, reconciliation. And it's like we've been basking in it all our lives, or I have, and I don't realize how much the thought of being forgiven to a mafia person that has killed people, or to a native guy, to be set free from the evil spirit. And that's a real joy. And it just blows me away, the little I realize of this. The other application of peace, being at peace with God vertically through his Son. And we had that verse this morning too, Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy that is. Romans 5, verse 1. And just to me, comprehending that the first time in my life, as I was growing on, it was about 10 years after this encounter of the crucifixion story as a child that I came to understand 10, 15 years later that I could have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death. He paid it all. At that time in my life, I was trying to attain peace or merit with God through being the Christian in the flesh. And there was no peace. And there was no peace. I'd try my best. There was failure. It was just no peace. And so to have that peace with God, that was Hebrews 11, verse 6. But there's without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I realized in my life, I was trying to please God with my works, and they're just filthy before God. So to have the peace of God that way, and then between, I want to say horizontal, each other, we can have peace with each other. And then in my own circumstances, peace in my heart. And I want to kind of turn to that or just dwell on that this morning. But there's these thoughts that Jesus, he says, peace be unto you. Well, small wonder, they thought he was a ghost. Here we had Thomas, just unthinkable in his mind, and ours too in the flesh, to think that someone would rise from the dead. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. That's just impossible. And, well, seeing Jesus, he believed. And so, also was discussed, I think, last week, those on the road to Emmaus. Jesus said, You slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. And Thomas was just like that. We call him Doubting Thomas. Well, he was now a believer. Well, in the flesh, you cannot and you will not. There's no power to believe. And so that, to me, that comes from God. So there's a thought of believing here. there's the thought of peace. And that's something that even in the shop, I work as a mechanic in the New Tribe shop there, and there's lawnmowers to fix. And sometimes there's an interruption, and they say, oh, can you fix this before what you're doing? Well, this is really needful for being done and to have peace in those trying circumstances. How can we have that day to day? With children in the house, maybe disobedient or rebellious, how can we have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding that Philippians 4:7 talks about? And we can have that. And I want to go through and see how is that possible. Another one that we read of is receive. But as many as believed him, well, first off, John 1:11, but he came unto his own received him not. And to me, there's two ways that that's applying to, or we can apply it to. He came to his own people, the Jews. They killed him. But he also came to his own creation. He came to the Roman world, as it were. Pilate was the representative there. And he had truth standing in front of him. He said, what is truth? And he had the Lord Jesus standing right there in front of him and didn't recognize it. And put to death this Son of God. So he came unto his own, and they received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. We can become a son of God by believing on him. And then there's the other thought we had there, forgive. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. To have this attitude of forgiveness moment by moment with the people we work with our children, with each other, in marriage, spouses, it's a daily moment by moment thing. We've experienced it from God's loving kindness. And he's asking us to so do to each other. And then also Matthew 28 was touched on last week. How to go ye into all the world, proclaim this message, make disciples. And how Romans talks about beautiful that the feet of those that have, who preach the gospel of peace, Romans 10. Do I have this sense of peace about me in the shop or in the kitchen or in the office or wherever you work? Or have I left that person last with an argument or a bitter word? What is it like in our day-to-day? What do we default to? Do I complain about the food or the meal or the weather? That can change. But there's a secret, or there's a bottom line that we got to come to. Then also, I want to say the last encounter of Jesus on this earth was the ascension. And there at the Acts 1, verse 4 to 8, in Jesus' ascension, he says, wait for the promise. Ye shall receive power at Pentecost. The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come, in like manner ye have seen him go. So these are various thoughts. They're not exhausted. There's more. But do we live in these day by day? And how do I get this power? Well, there was a point in my life that I realized it was just, I was trying and trying and trying and not attaining to that. And I realized I had to let it go, stop trying in the flesh, and let God. Well, let means permit, to mean surrender. It means submit to. And to me, that was the whole key of having peace. And we'll get back to Mary Magdalene there. In John 14, there seems to be the sense of they believed in God, these people. Verse 1. And this is talking of his coming again. So we are to watch and pray, watch for his coming, and live accordingly. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And mine so often is. And I'm sure you have troubling things too. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And we'll just stop at that. It's just how to attain or how to grasp a hold of this power or this peace. Looking back then at the story of Mary Magdalene, there's death here. The resurrection hasn't fully comprehended in her mind. And she's there. As we come into back to chapter 20. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher. So she had come down to embalm the body and realized that the stone, verse 1, they see the stone is taken away and the body is gone. In her mind, somebody has stolen my Lord. And why was Jesus so special to Mary Magdalene? Well, we're told she had seven demons that she was overwhelmed by, taken control by, had no control over them, and she was a slave to them. And Jesus had set her free. And it's almost like that story, him that loves little returns love little. Like the story of him, the person that's forgiven much is loveth much. Well, here, Jesus had set her free from so much. This life of slavery. And that's what he's done for us. And it's, as it were, she doesn't care for her own safety. She doesn't even, it's not even embarrassed that she's weeping, which isn't an embarrassment, but she's there in a state of mind, in franticness. But Mary stood out at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked. And she's comprehending here, there's two angels, and they ask her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And we know this is not a fleshly thing. It was a filial love, brother-sister love, and such a devotion. Now, it made me think of why do I do the things I do for service? After 5 years in the guest house, we felt run down. And do I do it grudgingly or do I do it wholeheartedly? And that is such a difference. That's where when surrender comes in, it comes as wholeheartedly. And so, as we go through the story here, she says, "Woman, why weepest thou? Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." When she had thus turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, knew not that it was Jesus. Here she's looking fully right at, she thought, the gardener. And it was the Lord Jesus. So she was seeing and yet not seeing. And we can have that too. I can be reading the Word of God and it doesn't mean a thing. I've read it, I've seen it, but there's no spiritual understanding from it. And again, we have this, "Why weepest thou, woman?" Jesus said unto her. And her first words to me tells me her relationship. What does she say? Well, she doesn't recognize him. She's supposing him to be the gardener. Saith, "Sir, if you have borne him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Then Jesus says unto her, "Mary." And this is not a common way to address a person, but to me it was in the voice that she knew, or Jesus knew Mary would understand. This is Jesus. Then she, on hearing the voice, and with death, when my mom passed away, there's no more mom's voice anymore. We miss that voice. And when Mary heard that voice, she recognized that voice. Her eyes didn't see, but her ears heard, and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Well, this is the relationship that we know. It's not a fleshly one or evil one. It's one of teacher-student. That's what the relationship was here. And it's so precious. And Jesus said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In that learning another language in Indonesian, I would say to Mrs. Dunlop, I would call her Ibu. It's like we would say here, man, and instead of at the counter, we say, hey, mister. That's the phrase that is normal address. Well, here, Jesus is saying, woman, why weepest? That's the same word as Ibu. And then Jesus calls Mary her name. He knew her. And my question is, have you encountered Jesus? Have you encountered firsthand? He knows you're seeking for him. Well, she's so excited, she wants to grab a hold of him, hug him. And Jesus, just like, calm down, stop, as it were, clinging to my feet. Well, she's never wanting to let him go out of her sight again. He's alive, which is unbelievable to the rest of the disciples. And at this point, that sadness, that weeping, turns into joy. And we have verses from Scripture of the peace that I wrote down a couple from Psalm 20. One is 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And this peace is shalom, the word shalom in Hebrew. It means completeness. It's a condition of safety. It's often used in opening line of an epistle, of wellness, of being happy, of being friendly. In abstract, it can be prosperity, of being wholly well. Also in Psalm 37:11, about the meek, they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 85:10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And then we also, in the thought line of peace, Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Proverbs 3:2, peace. And peace shall they add to thee for those that keep God's word. That's the applying there. Also in Proverbs 3:17, this is wisdom, her ways are paths of pleasantness. And then I was thinking of the Prince of Peace, this encounter. Have you personally encountered this Prince of Peace? And it made me think of the passage often quoted Christmas time, chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I pray that you would have this Prince of Peace reigning in your heart. And the bottom line is, to me, like the story of Isaiah 6. How do I have that power? Well, Isaiah had discovered it in 6, verse 1 to 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Here Isaiah had a surrender all to self. And to me, that's what Mary Magdalene had done. And that's what each of you and I each need to do to have this peace with God in our own heart, with peace in our own self, and to have that peace with each other. Thought if we could sing a song from 609. Close with that. Peace, perfect peace. And I was especially looking at verse 2. Number 609. Peace, perfect peace. By thronging duties press to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. It's surrender to the Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Oh, our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your glory, for your greatness, and for how you would desire for us to have peace in our hearts. First of all, peace with you for sins forgiven, sins washed away for redemption, and oh, the joy of being forgiven, of nothing is remembered by you, and we so easy remember it between each other. So we pray for that surrender to you, for to be at peace in our hearts with each other, in our circumstances, and Father, that you are that giver of peace, and we just rejoice in that. So bless us as we go, watch over us as we, Lord willing, be able to come back this evening. We just commit ourselves to you, to your power, to enable us, in Jesus' name, amen.